A virile cowboy sporting a well-groomed mustache is gripping the reins of a white horse with the practiced precision of a hard-working man. He wears a white Stetson hat, a brown button-up, a burnt yellow vest, chaps, obviously worn in leather gloves, and of course, brown cowboy boots. The man does not stare directly into the camera. Instead, his focus is drawn over his right shoulder towards another horse. Our focus is drawn to the man and his majestic steed. But faintly in the background, we see a clear, blue sky and wide open spaces. This rugged man appears to be in an enclosure, but again, the focus is directly on the cowboy, with the second horse heavily shadowed. To the left of the cowboy appears the words, "The Spirit of Marlboro" in a low-tar cigarette, and they are situated above the bold statement, "Marlboro Lights." What I have just described is a 1987 Marlboro Man advertisement found within the pages of a vintage Vogue magazine. Archaic today, smoking advertisements were as common as makeup ads are today. And no ad reigned more supreme than the Marlboro Man. Embodying ruggedness and vitality, the Marlboro Man was America's most iconic ultra-masculine figure in its heyday. With today's podcast, I will be exploring one of the best-selling advertisement campaigns in the United States history, Philip Morris's Marlboro Man. I'll explore the Marlboro Man's history and investigate how this rugged cowboy became the ultimate fantasy, perfectly tailored to white masculinity, until that icon was revealed to be nothing more than an illusion that ended in death for its consumers. I'm Julia Vidal, and this is Iconic Ads. The story starts in 1924. Marlboro wanted to target a burgeoning new demographic for their cigarettes, women. Ads for the sophisticated Marlboros would grace the pages of Vogue magazine, featuring the lips of an immaculately mysterious woman, delineated by a wisp of smoke from the Marlboro in her hand. The advertisement suggested that ivory tips protect the lips. These ads solidified the Marlboro brand as the cigarette of choice for women. Thus, why did Marlboro switch its core demographic from women to men?
Tonight's CBS Reports begins with this historic announcement by the Surgeon General of the United States on January 11, 1964.
It is a judgment of the committee that cigarette smoking contributes substantially to mortality from certain specific diseases and to the overall death rate.
By the mid-1950s, organizations were researching the health effects of smoking tobacco-based products. In 1956, the Bureau of Census published their first national survey of tobacco smoking habits in the United States. Surgeon General Leroy E. Birney proclaimed that the Public Health Service feels the weight of the evidence is increasingly pointing in one direction, that excessive smoking is one of the causative factors in lung cancer. With this correlation between smoking, lung cancer, and men, Philip Morris realized they needed to switch their advertising tactics to save such a large demographic, which necessitated them to develop a new campaign to become synonymous with the filtered cigarette. Enter the Marlboro Man. The Marlboro Man sought to change the narrative surrounding cigarettes. For many decades, the tobacco industry carefully, self-consciously, and self-interestedly cultivated an intimate relationship between smoking and health as a way of promoting cigarettes. The Marlboro Man would tout qualities of independence and individualism. He would form the basis of an alternative relationship between cigarettes and health, and simultaneously, an alternative relationship between masculinity and vigor. Whereas the ads before the Marlboro Man represented a man's capacity to control his well-being, the Marlboro Man's individualism found expression in anti-institutionalism, which objected the authority of health and medicine. Marlboro's rebranding became a huge success, and an enduring one, when the 1955 campaign launched that ran until 1999. The rebranding was such a triumph that within a year of the Marlboro Man's debut, the company grew from a 1% market share to become the fourth best-selling brand in America. Americans loved Marlboro's. Sales hit $5 billion in 1955, an over 3,000% increase from 1954, the year prior to the Marlboro Man campaign. The Marlboro Man did more than sell cigarettes. He sold an ideal, a fantasy. The beginning of the Marlboro Man campaign coincided with the end of World War II and an idealized version of the American West. Philip Morris and Leo Burnett, the company responsible for the campaign, were able to draw from the cultural understandings of masculinity in the United States at the time. Thus, they were able to make masculinity as much a product of consumption as a cigarette itself. Essentially, the Marlboro Man was able to sell more than a pack of cigarettes. He, and in effect Philip Morris, was able to package a very distinct idea of 20th century masculinity and directly deliver it to their consumer base. Additionally, what made the Marlboro Man a powerful image was the choice to outfit him as a cowboy. Originally, the campaign included various other blue-collar workers, but nothing struck a chord with the American public quite like the cowboy. Thus, by 1962, the figure of the cowboy had emerged as the ubiquitous symbol of Marlboro. The cowboy was shorthand for conveying a specific culture of masculinity, which, in turn, was associated with a particular set of virtues. As Burnett describes, the cowboy offered an almost universal symbol of admired masculinity, which appealed to both sexes. The cowboy of Marlboro cigarettes represented the self-made man of America, and purposely evoked the image of a hard-working man determined to make his American dream possible.
In the history of the world, no non-essential habit ever got so entrenched so fast. 70 million Americans smoke. Today they got a message from the United States Surgeon General, who has had a blue ribbon committee studying their habit for 14 months.
Out of its long and exhaustive deliberations, the committee has reached the overall judgment that cigarette smoking is a health hazard of sufficient importance to the United States to warrant.
Despite the longevity and cultural impact of the Marlboro Man, the harmful repercussions of this advertising campaign cannot be ignored. Marlboro cigarettes have killed more than 2.3 million Americans since 1955, with another expected 1.6 million deaths in the next 10 years. Philip Morris could not and cannot outrun the numbers. Thus, while the Marlboro Man is the strongest male image of our modern times, there is also that dichotomy in the knowledge that there is a hidden meaning behind the slogan, "Come to Marlboro Country." That slogan being, "Come to Cancer Country." Consequently, there is an irony in the Marlboro Man. He represents a strong, virile cowboy, and yet the fantasy is shattered once the consumer looks at the hard data. Figures show that smoking kills. Therefore, the fantasy of this eternal masculine energy is broken with that reality. The rise of Marlboro's and the advent of the Marlboro Man coincided with the rise in the public knowledge of the harmful effects of smoking. One of the biggest setbacks to the fantasy of the Marlboro Man was the 1964 report by Luther L. Terry, M.D., Surgeon General of the United States Public Health Service. His report argued that smoking resulted in lung cancer and laryngeal cancer in men, and was a probable cause of lung cancer in women, and the root of chronic bronchitis. Only 1 year after that watershed report came the issuing of the Federal Cigarette Labeling Advertisement Act, which required all cigarette packages distributed in the United States to carry a Surgeon General's warning that smoking may be hazardous to health. Over the decades, Marlboro sustained various attacks from the federal government. One of the biggest, and ultimately what would serve as the downfall for the Marlboro Man, was the $206 billion settlement reached in November 1998. The major tobacco companies agreed to remove thousands of billboard ads and continue paying for the space until their leases expired, allowing anti-smoking groups to use these advertising streams. The settlement banned all outdoor advertising of tobacco products, such as billboards at stadiums, as well as similar advertising at arenas and shopping malls, along with the distribution and sale of clothing and merchandise, such as caps, t-shirts, and backpacks with brand name logos, with an additional ban against the use of cartoons in the advertising and packaging of tobacco products. Thus, the world said goodbye to the Marlboro Man on April 23, 1999. However, there was another issue that ended the Marlboro Man, and that was the changing definition of masculinity and the need to cultivate a new fantasy to pair with smoking cigarettes. The 1990s marked the dawn of a new era in smoking advertisement, and Philip Morris began to question the relevance of the stoic cowboy to the modern young male audience. The Marlboro Man required an update to represent the full spectrum of masculinity, while staying consistent with the well-established and globally recognizable brand identity. What's even more ironic was that Philip Morris ultimately found that all the categories of new young adult female smokers smoked Marlboro more than any other brand, and in most cases nearly 10 times more than the targeted brands like Virginia Slims. It would seem that the Marlboro Man struck a chord even across gender lines. Is one of, if not the, most iconic cigarette ads of all time. It not only revolutionized the advertising industry, but it contributed to smoking prevalence in the United States. However, the fantasy of that cowboy staring into the distance while smoking his Marlboro slowly eroded over time, until what was left was simply the truth. Smoking, as proved by scientists, kills. The Marlboro Man and his idea of masculinity grew obsolete, and eventually Philip Morris no longer saw him as the paramount of masculinity that he once was. In the end, the Marlboro Man was nothing more than a fantasy, and maybe he never reflected America. Instead, he reflected an idealized version of the United States that was never really true at all.